We're WSA, and we are in the business of designing environments that work. We create workplaces for all sorts of people, and we've always learned a lot by listening. Why? Because architects who listen are people who design, really design, for others, for everyone, and for all of us. This podcast is about what designers hear when they listen carefully to what people want and what people need. Welcome to Workplace Crafted. Welcome back to Workplace Crafted, a podcast from WSA. In today's episode, we're going to consider the broader issues impacting our planet, sustainability and resilience, and the architect's role in helping solve this puzzle. It's an imperative. We recognize it, but we also know it's a challenge. We're joined by WSA studio leader Natalia Lebanon, who is strongly linked to and passionate about this subject, and she'll lead us through this conversation. As a signing and reporting firm to the AIA 2030 commitment, sustainability is part of our DNA. We hope this episode sparks discussion on how architects and designers can be more impactful and take a new approach to practice. Today, we want to talk a little bit about how we and how society defines sustainability in architecture. Let's begin by talking about how we understand client sustainability initiatives.
We strive for decreasing the carbon footprint, but I would suggest that we approach it in a more human-centered way. Commuting to work this morning, I almost started crying in the car.
Oh my goodness.
Because today, Columbus experienced a tornado in the month of February.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that need to be done, right? And so we've talked a little bit about how our clients are not necessarily recognizing the urgency related to these things. So recognizing the emotional response to the storms and the adverse conditions that we're seeing, as designers, we can anticipate the impact. I think a lot of people have a hard time connecting the dots in relationship to these types of issues. How do we work with clients to begin to help them recognize how they can take steps to be more sustainable?
We approach it in a casual, non-confrontational manner and try to frame it in a way where their facilities, their employees, their students, their residents can be affected in a positive way through some very simple interventions and design decisions to help their facilities, to help their buildings, to help the people that inhabit those buildings.
And a lot of the work we tend to do, because in the Midwest we have a huge significant existing building stock, and we're able to adapt those, right? So that's one of the things that's really kind of, you talk about reducing carbon footprint. As my mentor, Carl Elefante, past president of AIA, speaks about, the most sustainable thing you can do is to save a building.
Exactly, exactly. And I think WSA does a really great job of that. Our client stock, I think, is certainly open to that and open to listening to us when we talk about shrinking their footprints, consolidating their facilities, and reusing their existing facilities that may be already located in a community where sustainable commuting can be supported. Mm-hmm. Transit lines, cycling lanes, walkable neighborhoods, all of those things can come into play.
Right. And they're getting it without even really asking for it through those adaptations. But there are obstacles. And it seems like one of the strategies you and we use is to talk about the value that comes through adaptation and small things, incremental things that can create value. So talk a little bit at more length about some of the obstacles we overcome in implementing sustainable design.
Budgets, tight budgets is an obstacle. We try to suggest green revolving funds, for example. So one initial investment in green or sustainable system may provide a return on investment where those savings can then be put into a special fund dedicated to future renovations and redesigns that, again, support green and sustainable initiatives and thereby fuel more energy savings, more cost savings, and help fund future projects.
So we're really thinking beyond the building to how things can be funded, how clients can have long-term strategies to fund future investments. Talk a little bit about then sort of shifting the conversation away from the client and coming more towards our internal delivery and how we deliver projects and how we step forward. How can architects and designers incorporate sustainability more into our core and into our value system?
Talk about it early and often in a casual manner, in a matter-of-fact way, that this is simply a new reality, that perhaps we not only have to design for sustainable and energy-efficient buildings, but also resilient buildings, looking into the future so that we can be impactful without prescriptive rigidity or sort of authoritarian stance towards them.
I did this series of webinars over the holidays to learn more about this topic. And one of the things that these authors were talking about was the idea of the architects being the integrator. You know, we integrate systems, whereas an engineer might focus specifically on energy savings. We're right. Looking at energy savings in relationship to the broader building design.
Exactly. So we work with our engineering consultants as a team. They design an energy efficient system, and then our architectural designs help support those systems to amplify them.
Yeah. Like we might use internal heat gain from windows as a part of the calculation and recognize that windows can change in size and windows on different sides of the building, et cetera, right? So I think that what you're saying about how we have it casually within our DNA and how we begin to try to integrate it through all of the different aspects of design is really important. So internally in the practice, especially here at WSA, what kind of initiatives have we taken to get our teams involved more, to have them understand how they can be contributors?
Continuing education. We try to educate ourselves, pursuing LEED and WELL accreditation. We encourage everyone from leadership down through interns to search out ways and understand sustainable design. And we try to live it ourselves as a firm through walking the walk, talking the talk, but also walking the walk, purchasing new laptops. We are looking at models that aren't disposable. Like if they break, that they can at least be fixable or recyclable. Directing our reps that come in for lunch and learns to select restaurants that are local, organic, and try to dissuade them from bringing us extra plastic cutlery.
Yeah.
Because we have a kitchen that has real real cutlery, little things like that. Recycling, composting, finding ways to commute to our workplace ourselves that are sustainable, cycling, electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles.
Yeah. What strikes me is our discussion today is about how sustainability in architecture and design is being embraced. And much of the conversation that we're having is not about architecture, but it's about a method of living or a way of approaching design so that it's more holistic, so that it's not just responsive to conditions, but actually shaping a better future.
It's a mindset.
And one of the things I've been researching, so there's an architect who is at McGill. His name is Kiel Moe. And he actually is the dean. And he's had talks in the last few years that I've listened to where he talks about architects going away from the abstract and beginning to talk about architecture more in a form of how it's literal. So understanding the impact of the specification of a brick and recognizing the brick in Ohio may come from a place that's an hour from here by car, but the brick in Florida may have to be brought in and there's a bigger carbon footprint of that specification. So beginning to think about the way the next generation of architects can influence design in a much more broad way, instead of only thinking about it in the abstract way where we come up with ideas and policy and then, oh, well, it's up to everyone else to figure it out. The architect takes an actual leadership role in this. So this brings us to the topic of the next generation of architects and how they may think differently about sustainable design. I mean, you began to think about it in relationship to your children and the big role that they feel they're going to have to take on in the next 50 years. So What are your thoughts on the next generation of architects?
This is a non-negotiable issue, and the perspective will come, or the perspective here will shift to resiliency, which is a more holistic sort of viewpoint. I'd also like to point out that the mindset here in North America is not quite as advanced, perhaps, in this arena as it is in other places of the world. Europeans, for example, are already talking about digital sobriety, how AI is a less energy efficient way of processing information than the human brain. So never mind gas vehicles. They're talking about a world where every bit of energy is thoughtfully consumed.
Yeah.
And they're coming from a perspective where it's a social responsibility.
It kind of reminds me of, I've been watching reruns lately of The Waltons on Hallmark.
I'm unfamiliar. I'm sorry.
So The Waltons was a really great sort of throwback family story. I don't know if it was really great, but it was a family story about a family in rural Virginia in the Depression era and how they coped and lived. It's a lot about the values of being in touch with the land and simple living and that kind of thing. And I'm really enjoying it because I think it's sort of a model of how we could live again in the future. And I think about my parents and what they described in terms of the way they grew up. And they had much less issues of obesity, much less forms of pollution, and they were not necessarily as financially wealthy, but they seemed to have a really great sense of balance in their lives. And so that's sort of what you're talking about. This next generation is going to be beginning to look at things more holistically, maybe, and that we might be stepping towards a simpler life.
I sure hope so.
So if we know that this next generation's like that, what do we need to do differently here as a design firm in order to empower them to lead us?
Support them, listen to their voices, amplify their voices, put them in the room to normalize the discussion.
How about making them inform the conversation so that our clients begin to speak a new language or understand that there's different criteria, right? Yeah. So in many ways, our society has been caught up in the Industrial Revolution, which is about speed and efficiency and
post-war convenience.
Yes. And then this idea of technology and how technology accelerated all of that. And what you're saying is it's not necessarily creating an outcome that's a positive outcome holistically, but there's a lot of byproduct from it.
Exactly.
So as designers, we need to be thinking more broadly as a way to sort of slow things down and begin to recognize the long-term implications. When I first started as an architect, I remember things were there was a much different pace. So, you know, for us to have a building constructed, it might take 2 years. And now that same building would be attempted to be constructed in 18 months. So maybe we need to chill a bit. I mean, it might be as simple as that.
Build buildings that are a little less disposable.
Yeah, that it's more about long term. I was talking with my students last week and talking about that issue of how buildings have resilience. And one of the things they were pointing out to me is the relevance of like buildings like the Pantheon in Rome, where it's still really potentially relevant for a lot of different types of uses because it was not designed and built for a specific use.
Right.
It was just built to be a place. And it's a destination. So maybe it's all about making places. This has been Workplace Crafted, a podcast series from WSA. As we continue to hold our conversations on the future of practice, we hope that we can be part of change for the better in the field. We hope you join us for more conversations with members of our team as we explore the future of design. Today's podcast was edited by Spencer Hawk, our podcast guru. Many thanks as well to Natalia, who took the time to join us for this important conversation. And as always, thanks to our WSA clients who allow us to explore these topics for the design work that we do. Join us next time when we explore urban intervention and adaptive reuse.